This is the Detroit Sports Podcast Network.
The biggest icon in podcasting.
Welcome in, everyone, to this week's edition of the Doc and Jock Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Adam the Jock Straczynski. On today's show, Tony Khan holding a grudge and placing blame on this AEW wrestler. Ronda Rousey has some very critical words for WWE and some execs of the company. And this WWE star confirms a major injury. Of course, we're going to take a look at what's going on with AEW. We had a bunch of titles changing hands, and we're going to take a look at this build to WrestleMania and help him sort it all out. He's the one. He's the only. He is the Doc, John Macaroon. What's up, cuz?
We are on the road to WrestleMania. AEW kind of starting to act like WWE with their stars and their 20-25 minute promos. What's going on? Great week of wrestling. A new champ, the man that drives the Ferrari, is starting to gain attention for himself too. Man, it was fun. It was a good week. I can't wait to kick it off. Lots to talk about, cuz. What are you interested in? What are we talking about?
Yeah, a ton to talk about. And look, really with WWE, again, this is going to be centric around Cody. It's going to be centric around Roman, The Rock, Seth Rollins. On Monday Night Raw, we had Cody come out and cut a very, very aggressive promo. This is basically a response to what we got from The Rock last Friday night. So Cody comes out, and he's allowed to break the no swearing policy. And he lays down a couple of expletives throughout this, I would say it's about 12, maybe 15-minute promo. I thought it was a really good promo. I thought the swearing was interesting, a little bit jarring, because when it happened the first time, you're kind of like, okay. When it happened the second time, you're like, huh? And then when he starts dropping little dick energy, you're kind of like, what is going on here? That's not usually something that is allowed. But WWE gave him the green light to go ahead, swear throughout his promo, and try to amp this up to rebuttal what The Rock is allowed to do. And we're going to talk about what The Rock is allowed to do here in a few moments, because The Rock is getting away with murder, and it's upsetting a lot of people on the backstage. But what did you think of Cody's response to The Rock and being allowed to break the no swearing policy? WWE basically going out of its way to allow Cody to rebuttal The Rock, who has basically been allowed to do whatever he wants to do in WWE since he's come back.
Yeah, I think that it's good that they allow Cody to do similar things to The Rock. And for those in the back that don't like what's going on with The Rock, that's too fucking bad. And I think that that's probably what Triple H and the management will tell you. It's The Rock. The Rock is not a performer. The Rock sits on the board of the company you work for. Do you know what that means? That means the man is aware of the billion-dollar deals. The man is aware of the global expansion. The man is aware. The man is just crazy enough to get back in the ring, even though he's made 15 movies where he makes $20 million per. The man's the biggest star globally in the world, top three. So for the peons in the back, you know, if you're, you know, for example, if you're Jinder Mahal and you're upset that The Rock can talk about these things, get bent. I mean, it's The Rock, and he's earned it. So I'm of the opinion that you mind your business and you cash your checks, because part of the reason why your check went from $250 a year to $450 a year is because of The Rock. And for Cody, I think that clearly he's going to have cachet creatively to do the things. He's the second biggest star in the company. And third, if you include The Rock currently, it's The Rock, Roman, and Cody Rhodes. That's the way he's been built. That's why he came back. You think they're going to tell Cody Rhodes reasonably when he goes back there and he goes, you know, Hunter, I want to be a little more edgy. You think Triple H is going to be the guy that says, man, go be more creative? No, absolutely not. They were great promos. You know, it's beyond heel and face at this point. It's a personal grudge. That's what's going on. And that's the way the feud is progressed. It's going to be verbally, and it's psychological in nature as well. So I loved it. It's fine. It's definitely jarring to hear, you know, little dick energy when, you know, little Timmy at 9 years old goes, Daddy, What's little dick energy? Do I got that? Timmy, we might have this. Let's just not talk about that right now, Timmy. Let's just go back and look at Nia Jax and pay attention to other things, son. So it'll be Becky Lynch. Pay attention to Becky Lynch. So it'll be funny to see how this progresses moving forward. I thought SmackDown was interesting too in the way in which they took the time to tell that story on Friday night.
Yeah, well, let's jump over to that because I do want to come back to what's going on internally with WWE and The Rock. And it does, again, it all centers around Cody Rhodes,
jealousy,
and it centers
jealousy
around Roman Reigns and
yeah,
all of this. So I do want to come back to this, but you brought up SmackDown. And on SmackDown, we were supposed to have our basically it's our stare down between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, where they both exchange promos on each other. Again, a lot of promos to get us to WrestleMania. They were supposed to come without any backup. It was supposed to be mano a mano. The only person who was allowed in the ring was Paul Heyman, and that was it. And I thought it was good. I thought they did a really good job kind of building night two, working together and really helping to help elevate this part of the show, because I think this is weird. I don't think we've had anything like this before where you've got a guy and another guy wrestling on night one, and it has implications for what's going to take place on night two. I think it's the first time we've ever seen something like this. So you're really building one story, but you also have to build another story at the same time, and you've got to do these things simultaneously while you do this. So it's a bit of an interesting spot that both Roman and Cody are in. And again, I thought they did a really good job in the ring. You got two guys who are masters at their craft cutting promos, and really in the end, you had Roman show his hand, and he had Solo and he had Jay come through the – or Jimmy come through the arena. And Cody's no slump. He's no slouch. He's not going to be a punk. Cody showed his hand. He had Jay and he had Seth come through the crowd as well. And basically, they had a stare down. I thought it was great. I thought it was a very powerful, impactful moment. It showed that Cody's not going to be bullied. It showed that whatever's going on with Roman, Cody can elevate his game and get himself there. That's what I took away from this. I thought this was great. Also, it really, to me, it looked like you had the hardest boy band, with Cody Rhodes being the professional, almost the Justin Timberlake of the group. You had Jey Uso basically being the Donnie Wahlberg of the group, if you're a New Kids on the Block fan. And then you had Seth Rollins being the AJ of the group, if you were a Backstreet Boys fan. They look like the hardest boy band you've ever seen, while Roman and his crew look like a bunch of B-boys from the 1980s, and they were having a stare down. I thought it was kind of a cool moment. Again, I thought this was really poignant. I thought this helped elevate Cody Rhodes and show that he is on the same level as Roman. What did you make of this closing moment on SmackDown? What did you think of this?
It was perfect. I watched SmackDown out of order, so I taped it, and then I got to watch it in a manner in which I saw that part first, and I said, okay, here we go. What's the stare down going to be? Are they going to lay into each other? Are they going to get physical? What's going to be the tone? What's the message? And Roman's message, it was fair, but I rated it only as a 6. The message of Cody Rhodes, you're an idiot, and, oh, I'm going to bring my guys here, which they kind of set the tone for, which was teasing, like, okay, I thought was the worst of the options in regards to what they could have did. This is simple. You don't need to overthink these things. I know that you got all these people in back, and you got to come up with the why. Okay, it's simple. The why is not because Cody's an idiot, okay? And I know that the heel does heel things in the face. Is sometimes supposed to take it, you know, oh, no, he fell for the tactics of the heel. But Cody Rhodes is smart, and he brought his boys too. That's fine. But I just think that when you look at it, it's time to get a little bit geeky in the world of wrestling. It's simple. Roman's message has got to be, look, man, I'm sorry to tell you, you're a Rhodes, and Rhodes are workers. You're not the Ric Flair. You're not the Sting, bro. You're not the guy. Sorry. You're a guy that's just going to be a worker. You're going to be a guy that's always going to be in the background, just like you were last year. And I hate to tell you, but you guys don't got the stroke around here. It's just the way it is. Certain things get you the stroke around here, pal. And judging by what I think would happen if you led this company, I think we'd all go back to the barnyard and in the indie circus where you went and start. He's like, do you want to go do that again? And shit like that. You know, I think it's so easy to tie into it that, hey, I'm Roman.
I actually like your promo much better.
Yeah. It's
just basically calling him a carny is what you're doing. I like that much better. It's very insulting.
Very insulting, and also referencing the shit that he did. He's like, what, are you going to try and start a third indie crap company? You take a shot at AEW. So I just think that the notion of calling Cody Rhodes an idiot at this point in time is juvenile. And I'm a 45-year-old man, and I get it. But at the same token, I think you got Paul Heyman there, and you go, you think Paul Heyman is going to support and roll behind coming to you? Get the fuck out of here. And I just think that, for me, I just think the messaging was juvenile. And I understood it. It was typical WWE. I just don't think that at my level now, being a psychologist with a master's degree and 20 years experience, there are things you can tap into that are more provoking and instigating than you're an idiot. I mean, because we call each other idiots all the time. You have an idiot take on this. You have an idiot take on that. Okay, we hug and kiss and make up. You know what I mean? That doesn't do nothing to nobody. I'm not going to start swinging on you if you call me an idiot. But if you said, hey, I'm a third-rate podcaster and I couldn't carry the bathwater of Joe Rogan, I would sting a little bit. You know what I mean? That would hurt because of all the time and energy we put into this. So I just think that the messaging was juvenile. I was okay. I give it a 6, but not what I could have – not. It's basically not fully tapping into the potential of the creative juices that you could have to get this feud nuclear. It's just – lukewarm. It's okay. You know, you have the story and here we are.
Doc wants more provocation. Yes. And if we were to take Doc's writing, I think I would like it more. I'm going to be honest with you. I like that a little bit more. It makes you think a little bit more and it's not so cookie cutter. It does feel like some of Roman's promos, they're very trite. It's a lot of the same thing. It's a lot of control C, control P. You're an idiot. You're dumb. I'm the smartest guy. I got a crew. We'll beat you. That's kind of what you get a lot of times. Somebody who's kind of allowed to do what he wants and really hasn't been all that trite is the guy who's cutting 20, 30, 40-minute promos, and that is Roman's cousin, The Rock. According to Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio, as one person noted, he does what he wants, and because he's on the board of directors, nobody's going to say anything to him. He also has an entire team of representatives that surround himself with, so any issues they handle while they stay out of the mess with the people he directly deals with. But one person noted that there was a feeling that the era of Vince McMahon's double standards for his handpicked stars and for everyone else was over, and then Johnson showed up, and it's exactly the same. And this is basically in regards to, one, The Rock basically eating into everybody else's time on the show. He has zero time constraints. He wants 40 minutes. He's taken 40 minutes, even though they allot him 20. He feels like 20 is not long enough. He gets to kind of go out there and say curse words. They're not allowed to say curse words. It causes problems with the networks, and it causes problems in the back when you're on your social media. Social media is a little bit more personal. You can kind of do more things on it, but you're still supposed to uphold a standard if you're in WWE, and you can get in trouble if you don't. And swearing is one of those standards. And The Rock, if you follow his Twitter, you follow his Instagram, he kind of goes off and he does what he wants, says what he wants. He's got his own personal writer. That's Brian Gewirtz. That was referenced by Cody earlier. I think it was last week or maybe this week. So he's got his own personal writer. It is becoming one of those things where it's starting to rub a lot of guys in the back the wrong way, especially since this is a superstar who's kind of helicoptering in. Used a lot of leverage to try to get himself the main event of WrestleMania, which pissed a lot of people off. At the last second, they pivoted and they went back to Cody Rhodes. But this is a guy who has come in and really politicked his way into a match at WrestleMania. And he's a guy who has a lot of swagger. He carries a big stick because he is on the board of directors. You've already kind of let it be known. You're like, go ahead, figure it out. He is The Rock, and he's on the board of directors. He's bringing you money. But do you think the people in the back, say, you know, a Seth Rollins, say a Drew McIntyre, a Gunther, like they have a point? Because these guys are huge stars as well. These guys are guys who pack and fill arenas And these are guys who were packing and filling arenas before The Rock even came back or thought to come back. And yet they've got to kind of operate inside this constraint and try to do what they're supposed to do while The Rock kind of gets to go and do whatever he wants to do. He's playing by his own set of rules, which is seems to be really disruptive to the rundown that they're putting out there, seems to be really disruptive to the creative that's going on in the back. Because what I don't think a lot of people realize is when they're like, Rock, you've got 20 minutes. And The Rock's like, well, I want 40. They're like, cool, you get 20 minutes because we've got other matches going on. Well, Rock goes out there and he takes up 40 minutes. You now have to start cutting back matches. There was a match where they were supposed to really highlight Tiffany Stratton a couple weeks ago, and they basically had to cut that in half. And that has a trickle-down effect because now you're stealing – if she's going to get a 20-minute match, she's now getting 10. And now you've got to try to make up that other 10 somewhere else along the lines. So if you have a Gunther segment, now it's getting – now you're taking 5 minutes away from that when he was supposed to get 15. You're looking for another segment where you're trying to steal time because The Rock has just ate into all of this time. And it's, again, becoming very disruptive in the back. You've already said that, look, deal with it, figure it out. But don't you at some point say, hey, look, everybody in the back's got a bit of a point because what he's doing is monopolizing his own time, and that is interfering with everybody else's time to try to get their program over. We've already talked about WrestleMania is a huge card, and you've got to have time to build everybody else's story. And we've talked about this a lot because the last couple weeks, it's been a lot of Cody, a lot of Rock, it's been a lot of Roman, a lot of Seth, and this is kind of where we're kind of stuck in this rut because this is what dominates approximately 30 minutes of every show, if not more.
Yeah, you know how much Dave Meltzer and the people in the back matter? It doesn't matter what they think. They need to know their role.
I feel like I set you up perfectly for that.
Know your role and shut your mouth, whoever's talking to Dave Meltzer. And I'll say this. Look, you know who's benefited most from trying new avenues? Drew McIntyre, getting on social media, getting over, taking things to social media from the ring. Seth Rollins, definitely, even going back to when he was recruiting Will Ospreay. Look, there's a lot of ways to get over that don't involve your TV time. So if you got a problem, then you need to bite your tongue, grit your teeth, stop talking to Dave Meltzer and crying like a bitch, and need to get yourself over and do the work. Look, The Rock has earned it. Look, when The Rock comes back, you know. So you know probably, whether it be vocally or internally, who has the most problem with this, it's got to be CM Punk. He's like, what the fuck? This is the shit that I left for, and it's happening all over again. It might even be a personal jab at CM Punk. Like, look, this is the company, and now you thought it was political before. Now we're a global brand, bitch, and if The Rock wants to come back and take away your time, that's what's going to happen in the name of entertainment because The Rock has millions and millions of fans that when he shows up are going to generate not 3 million views online, but 12 million views online. What's part of the reason why the YouTube channel blows up when he's on there? Because the man is a global icon, transcends the sport. So if you transcend the sport and you make the company that much money, then you potentially can be that guy. Because The Rock said it, and probably was true, when Netflix said, hey, the man said it, and he didn't say, listen, when these people say these kind of things, they don't say it just to put it out there for a promo. The Rock, in the promo in which I think he was next to a trailer or was outside, he said, when Netflix called WWE, they said, hey, we know The Rock. We want to know what's The Rock's involvement going to be. What's his situation going to be? He goes, my friend at Netflix, my friend at this, my friend at that. So, dumbasses in the back and Dave Meltzer, The Rock, even though he's taking your time, it's a short-term loss. The man is investing in your company. He is the liaison. He is the man. They go, holy shit, you think an executive is going to talk to The Miz and worry about what The Miz is doing? Or Seth Rollins? Then executive goes, hey, you know, I want to dial up my guy, The Rock, who's built up these channels. And they go, hey, what do you think of Triple H leading this? How do you think of the company? Where do you think this should go in the new millennium? Boom, baby, you have The Rock, who loves your company, who adores your company. Lineage, hey, for 3 months, you lose 10 minutes. Who gives a fuck? You're going to be there for the next 30 years because of the work that The Rock does. So that's what I need these employees and jabronis to think is, stop thinking so short-sighted and do the work now. Have a little promo here, a little promo there. And in the end, when you, for example, work for free for 3, 4, 5 years, somebody will see the fruits of your labor eventually and reward you and highlight you and make it so that your friends can be part of it. Stop being, people are so psychologically short-sighted that they don't think about the big picture. The Rock is a multi-billionaire in waiting, and he's advocating for you with the highest levels of Hollywood and executives who have the money. He wants 2 hours. He wants to sit there and sing along, ding along for 2 hours. Shut the fuck up and ride the train and cash your checks. Shut up and stop talking to Dave Meltzer. It's really, in my opinion, short-sighted in regards to your career if you're going to be that way. Hey, and in the end, the brightest diamonds will always shine. So bury your head in the sand, do more work, and yeah, complain behind the scenes. Say, hey, Hunter, come on. Hey, okay, you owe me one. That's it. If it was me, and I'm in that middle road, I'm the Miz, and I'm like, okay, Hunter, with a little jab and say, hey, Rock went long, you owe me one. You owe me a segment. You owe me a promo. You owe me something where, hey, you know, when I want something or I want to do a chair match and I want to do a Huracan Rana through a glass and you say no, I say, hey, I, you know, remember you owe me one? Can I call it here? So relax. Stop it. Stop being so short-sighted. It's The Rock. And let the man cook. He'll bring you money and he'll keep the company afloat. So I'm always of the opinion, hey, now you just go to The Rock and say, hey, man, can you just, you know, Triple H's got to joke around and be like, hey, man, you know, can you be just a little more funny and can you stop babbling through these promos? Let's go. Get through it. It's just 2024. But in the end, this is all good for WWE and the performers. Stop it.
So the doc says, shut up. Your mouth, know your role, and do your job because The Rock is going to bring you money. Before we transition into AEW, I'm just going to put this out there. This is something that I might be the only one who maybe noticed. I might be the only one who thinks this is going to happen. I just want to put this out there. I want to state it for the record. I could be completely wrong. I don't know what's happening. I don't have any inside information. I think that we might be getting a bit of a heel turn for Bianca Belair sooner than later. Watching the interaction between her and Naomi, between her and Bayley, I think that this whole thing with damage control, I think this is going to spark a nerve. It's going to drive a wedge between her and Naomi, and I think she could become a heel. I think it could be one of those things that kind of gets drawn out as we get closer to WrestleMania. We'll see. Like I said, I could be completely wrong here. It's just kind of watching what I seen on Friday night, I was like, I think this is possible. I think this is where this could be going. So I just want to put a pin in that, and we can come back to it in later weeks and see what happens.
Hey, real fast. Real fast. Okay, you got my juices flowing. I wasn't thinking that.
Yep.
But because, think about this. You got Bianca Belair. You got Tiffany Stratton. And who's the third member? You need a veteran. You need someone who's got that nasty edge. You got to give it to Natalya. Start a faction that's beating down people led by Bianca Belair. Bro, that'd be fucking awesome. Who's the third lady? Oh, my God. Oh, you recreate something fun. You need, and you can maybe have it with four people moving forward, and they can beat down Naomi. Naomi's going through a table. Oh, my God. Got me excited, bro. Love it.
Almost like a female NWO.
Hell yes.
Yep. All right. I got you. I like it. All right. AEW time. Look, we kicked off Dynamite this week with a promo from Mercedes Moné. It really felt like Control C, Control P, and she flubbed a ton of the lines. And I know you got a lot of thoughts on this promo. I feel like Mercedes Moné in any other company but WWE does not carry the same cachet. I feel like she is just kind of another wrestler, and I feel like this promo did nothing to really help separate her or nothing to really make her feel like she's a bigger star. To me, she just kind of feels like she's just another one of the girls in the back. I know she's getting paid a ton of money, and I know that they're trying to build her up. This promo did nothing to help her. She flubbed like 9 lines. You showed me some stuff from New Japan when you wrestled 2 matches. You showed me some stuff of you sitting in a fucking stands for at Wembley. You showed me a couple of things that I kind of knew, and I'm assuming that the majority of an AEW wrestling fan knew. I'm not really getting it. The whole CEO thing, I don't really get it. Like, I know we talked about it before, but like, it just, it, to me, it's a miss. This whole reintroduction of her is a miss. And this promo that she cut for 20 minutes was a bit of a miss. I know in the end, it helps build two stories that you might go to later on. But again, it feels like watching paint dry. Go ahead. I know you got thoughts. I'll let you just kind of take it away from here, because I was underwhelmed again, and I think you were as well.
Yeah, because it was very similar to the exact way they did it the week before. Tony Schiavone opens the show. They introduce Mercedes Moné. She does her dance. Exact same way. Comes in, has a promo. It's like, you could have did it at a different time in the show. You could have did something different. I get it, but it wasn't proven like, hey, she's a ratings draw. So I would have did something different. And here's the thing. I was just thinking as you were talking. I mean, you have other female wrestlers in AEW that worked with Mercedes Moné in WWE, namely Saraya. You have Renee Paquette. So I'm thinking real simple here. You just have Renee go around the women's locker room. What do you think of Mercedes Moné coming in here? And they cut a positive promo on her. They just say, man, the division just got serious, and you could see, you got to sell it like, oh man, my spot's in jeopardy because she's here. You don't always have to use the wrestler to get themselves over. You could use the other wrestlers to get them over. You just have Renee go, Saraya, what do you think about Mercedes coming here? It's changed it. And she's like, you know, obviously he's going to say, you know, yeah, I thought that the division was going to be something serious when I came here. Now Mercedes is here. It's just that tougher here in AEW. I got to go back to the drawing board and make sure I hold my spot. And you got to have that genuine fear, but confidence at the same time. It's like, come on, dude, where's the creativity in these things? You got, this is an entertaining product. You got to have somebody with a creative mind to really get the juices flowing. It was basically the same thing that we saw last week. And remember, guys, there has to be a notion that the audience is ADD. You do something once, you can't really do it again. So, I mean, come on. Open the show with her once, twice. Come on, dude. Let's go. And, highlighting New Japan for these people was crazy. And, look, you don't got to keep saying that you were injured and you thought it was your career was over, and I'm thankful to be here. It's time to, you should have went with, I'm here for the evolution. Who am I fighting? Who call someone out? Talk about your what it would mean to win the title that you're envisioning standing there, coming to the ring as the champion, representing the company, taking this to a new level. Like, it did not inspire. It was not inspiring. So that was my note.
Yeah, it really felt a little bit lackluster. And like we said, a lot of what we got the week prior. Now, after this, we did get a title match, and we got to see Okada take on Eddie Kingston. And look, I thought this was a fantastic match. Anytime Okada is in a match, it's going to be great. I love Eddie Kingston, so I love all of his work. I think it's going to be great. All that being said, I do have a bit of an issue. Actually, I have a couple of issues. With this match, Okada ends up defeating Eddie Kingston, and he becomes the Continental Champion. So now we have a title reign that had three belts that were once won. Now those are getting broken apart. Those are being pulled apart. And so now we have three more belts added to what is already an expansive collection of titles. You want to talk about a company that is very WCW-esque, where you've got titles galore. You have multiple titles, or WWE-esque, where you have multiple titles. Problem is, all these titles tend to be on one or two shows, and they just kind of clog everything up. Eddie Kingston now holds onto two belts. Okada holds onto one of these three belts, and now we've got extra belts all over the place. I don't think you need that. I think it makes things murky. I think it makes things messy. Also, this feels like you kind of rushed it. I really feel like you could have built this out longer than 2 weeks. This was a really good match. Okada does a lot of really great things. Okada's selling like Ric Flair in this match and pulling off heel tactics only to pop his head up and have his really toothy grin. I think it's fantastic. Eddie Kingston deserves more time. Eddie Kingston has been holding this championship for a while. How come the moment that Okada shows up, Okada gets to challenge him for this? Okada really hasn't had a singles match yet Okada is challenging for a championship? That just doesn't make sense to me. If I'm Eddie Kingston, I'm like, bro, you just got here. You're at the back of the line. Earn your spot. Come get my belt. And you could build this out for a couple of weeks with Okada and the Young Bucks picking on Eddie Kingston, taking Eddie Kingston out, all the way to the point where Eddie Kingston loses his mind. He's like, I want a match against Okada. I'll put my belt on the line. Let's go. Instead, I kind of felt like you rushed it. It was, again, a very good match. But from a storytelling standpoint, I felt like this was very lackluster, and I felt like you did a bit of a disservice, one to Eddie Kingston, who I feel like may fall down the card and go back to being that lower mid-card wrestler, or may just go back to Ring of Honor. And you didn't do enough to really highlight Okada. Again, very smart fan base in AEW, guys who know what is going on. All that being said, you really want to help elevate this guy. You really want to introduce him for the people who might not know who he is. You know, there's a good chance that two out of 10 people, right? One out of five people might not know who Okada is. So how do you do that? You build him up. You make him seem like he's this the greatest thing since sliced bread, because honestly, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. This is a guy who carried a company in New Japan for over a decade. So you build him up so these fans who have no idea who he is get familiar with his work, get familiar with him, and see how good he is. I thought this match highlighted some of the things that he does well. But again, I feel like you kind of rushed the story. What did you think about Okada taking the belt off of Eddie Kingston this quickly?
Yeah, you know, I understand what you're saying in terms of builds and stuff like that. But in the end, Okada's a star. When he pulled up in that Ferrari, I was like, oh, this is special. And oh, look, Eddie Kingston knows that the honor of being in the ring with Okada will be something that will help him down the road. And yeah, it has the feel of that Eddie Kingston got buried, but you got some TV time with one of the greats. Sometimes you just know that, okay, a guy needs a belt. And I think Okada coming in right away, because I see the way you look at it is there's always two wrestlers that either benefit or move forward. And so what AEW is thinking is this is clearly favoring Okada. We need to establish him as, you know, to this audience that, yes, he's a New Japan wrestling, but how many people know it? So what that means is, to an audience psychologically, in my opinion, it means that, hey, he comes in and he beats one of our guys. So you built up Eddie Kingston. He's more of a popular figure. And now Okada comes in and goes through him. So that now it signals to everybody, whoa, this guy's serious. And that's how you kind of, the tried and true way of factions getting over is, oh, we got belts. The Judgment Day's got the tag belts. Now you got this faction with the Young Bucks and Okada. They got the main version of the Continental title, and it looks good on Okada. So I don't have a problem with it too much. Your way is good as well in regards to pumping up stuff, but I think a bigger plan could be in place where, okay, now Eddie Kingston's pissed. He wants a match with Okada at the pay-per-view, and you got the underdog, you got the pissed off guy, and then Okada whoops his ass again.
All right, so we'll get that little pit bull, Eddie Kingston. So look, if it goes that way, that's great. I just thought this was a little bit rushed. Somebody who I think is fantastic, and I just want to highlight this real quick, touch on this before we talk about what took place with the TNT Championship. Will Ospreay is amazing.
Woo.
He came out, cut another fantastic promo. He, at times, is the most entertaining thing in AEW. He is absolutely fantastic, and I'm loving Will Ospreay. I'm loving everything about Will Ospreay. Did you have anything you wanted to mention about his promo this week? Because, again, I thought he hit it out of the park. I thought, again, it was amazing. I thought the reference to Bryan Danielson's shoes being too small for him to walk in was a fantastic line. I thought the line about the difference when he faced Shibata last time versus this time is he's like, I think he said he's got like three pugs. He's got a wife. He's got a baby. And he's got something to prove. I thought it was a fantastic line to kind of rip through this checklist and say, "Come, I'm going to come get you, and I'm going to show you how I'm this much better." I think Will Ospreay's great. I think this version of Will Ospreay is so damn entertaining.
Yeah, I think I got four words for you. That's about it. Short and succinct. Ospreay! Ospreay! Da-na-na-na-na-na! Ospreay! Ospreay! Absolutely crushing it. Going to be a legend. No doubt about it.
Yeah, he is fantastic. We had a really good match to close out Dynamite and then roll into Rampage, and that was Adam Copeland taking on Christian for the TNT Championship. In the end, Adam Copeland defeats Christian to become the new TNT Champion. At one time, hockey sticks were used, a Boston Bruins jersey was put on Christian, and Adam Copeland wore a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey. They were in Toronto. I believe they were in where the Toronto Maple Leafs play hockey. They were in a penalty box at one point throwing haymakers at each other. I thought this was a fun match. I thought this was Adam Copeland kind of doing a service to his hometown of Toronto. I thought this match, instead of an I Quit match, probably should have been a tables, ladders, and chairs match. It's a match that they helped make famous, and I think this would have been a fantastic spot to highlight that. overall, I thought this was a very good match. I just think the stipulation should have been different. What did you think of this match?
Listen, it was interesting in Canada. I thought that both performers lived up to the billing. And yeah, while no, listen, if you know a result's going to happen, but you still are entertained by it, I was entertained. I thought it capped off a decent Dynamite. And it's just, you know, it's nostalgia to me. Edge and Christian, now Copeland, and you look at Christian Cage and the work he's done, and you just go, man, it just brings back good memories of good times. And these two now have told a different story. And now you get a champion in another champion in AEW, in the veteran. And now I thought the work that he did last week to cut the promo regarding, you know, the weapon, I thought was cool. A little underwhelmed by the weapon. You could have added some more to it to make it a little more lively, but it looked violent. So I'm a big fan, and I think that the crowd in Toronto was appreciative.
Yeah, they definitely were. Anything else stick out to you from AEW, or do you have your show of the week?
You know, in the future, to lay it out here, I'm kind of curious about some of the women and where they need to go. And I know we'll spend some time when we have more time. Mm-hmm. Willow Nightingale has the feel that she could be bigger than what she is in the way she's presented. I had notes on her. Julia Hart, I thought the way in which they have her, I think she's got it. Just needs a little bit more refining, and right there she's on the edge of being a scary, scary lady. I think the women's evolution has the chance, but they just got to be fine-tuned a little bit in the presentation of their characters. The women are coming, and I think that that's going to be great to see, and I just can't wait for MJF to come back. I think the Young Bucks are doing great work in their run. I loved seeing them at the table with Tony. It added a little bit of element of, wait a minute, these dudes actually are EVPs, and this is what they do. I thought that was a good nugget. I think the work that we should highlight is, and we'll highlight it next week as well, Chris Jericho putting over Hook, big nugget. And I think that that was a match that set the tone for what the future could be for a young superstar. So a lot of good stuff from AEW this week, and a lot of good young talent taking that next step. And then you always got to talk about it. Swerve, baby. Swerve. Whose house could this be? Swerve's house. I can't wait to see what this year brings for him.
So it was a really good week of wrestling. What was your show of the week?
To me, it was SmackDown. I thought it was concise. I thought it was very solid in regards to moving things forward. And I always look at it when you have the likes of Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes staring off at each other. It forces you to say, where is this? Let me watch it. So for that, just for that tease and the way they built it up and the way in which it has the chance to really, you know, highlight these two guys. Listen, I want to see the match. I want to see it like right now. So for me, it was SmackDown.
Yeah, I like SmackDown as well. We didn't really talk about it, but you had Santos versus Rey Mysterio. This is Rey Mysterio's first match back since November. Dominic Mysterio, they worked him back into it, so it was a really good storytelling there. Again, you're getting some good work from the ladies with Damage Control and Naomi and Bianca, as well as Bayley. There's multiple stories going on there. You also had what you told with Roman and Cody, and you had their sides of their factions. So again, it was a really good show on SmackDown. 2 hours kind of flew by. I thought it was a really good show. You ready for some news and notes?
Hit me with this week's professional wrestling news and notes. What made your list?
Tony Khan is holding a grudge and placing blame on an AEW wrestler. Khan is reportedly still really mad at AEW star Jack Perry over the CM Punk backstage situation several months ago. At AEW All in August of 2023, Perry commented, "Real glass, cry me a river," into a camera after slamming Hook onto a car windshield. This led to an altercation backstage with CM Punk, who started a fight with Perry. Speaking on Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer reported that Khan is still really mad at Perry even 7 months after it happened, saying he has not been fired. He absolutely has not been fired, but they're not using him. Essentially, Tony's really mad at him because he cost him CM Punk. He's getting the blame. Due to the altercation, Perry was suspended from AEW and CM Punk was fired. Punk returned to WWE after this, while Perry went to New Japan Pro Wrestling and used the moniker The Scapegoat while joining the House of Torture faction. Now, Ronda Rousey doesn't hold back on WWE executives. While promoting her book, Our Fight, she did an interview on Live Signing where she gave some previews of what people can expect to read about the book itself. During the interview, when she was asked about whether beef between MMA fighters is real, she said, "In MMA, I originally just started beef for publicity. But those other bitches did not get the memo, so they became personal. And in WWE, it's all fake. I love them except for Bruce Prichard and John Laurinaitis. They can go fuck themselves. That's real. Bruce Prichard is the current executive director, CWT, at WWE, while Laurinaitis was let go by the company in the 2002 after being named in a sexual misconduct allegations associated with Vince McMahon. After McMahon departed WWE, Ronda Rousey publicly tweeted her belief that Prichard is McMahon's avatar and McMahon isn't truly gone if Prichard is still there. Later in the interview, Rousey added, "How much of an absolute shit show is it at the WWE? Because they can't hold a sword over my head and hold me hostage with my own career, and I don't need anything from them, and I don't intend to go back. So I can actually say everything I think and feel where everybody else that is still held captive by their organization cannot." Later on in her book, later on in the interview, she did talk about Triple H, saying he's one of the better people at WWE. And finally, this WWE star confirmed a major injury he suffered. WWE star and SmackDown general manager Nick Aldis has confirmed he ruptured his bicep on social media. On March 20th, Nick Aldis took to Twitter, or X, to confirm he ruptured his bicep, where he wrote, "Yes, just got out of surgery for a ruptured bicep tendon. And yes, the sheets had it within minutes. God bless them. Must be a slow news day. Anyways, it was a freak accident. I'm on the mend, and I will continue to fulfill my obligations. Hashtag SmackDown." Aldis confirmed that it was a freak accident and that he will not miss any time from WWE programming moving forward. If you watched SmackDown on Friday night, you did notice his arm was in a bit of a sling. As he was dressed in a suit coat, you could see his thumb was kind of held back with that sling. So, Nick Aldis, get better. Wishing you well, and hopefully no more freak injuries. And that's going to do it for this week's news and notes, my brother.
You know why I don't work out? Because I would tear my bicep, tricep, quads. Oh, man, that's crazy stuff. Guys, make sure you follow Adam on Twitter at AdamRSTROZ. Follow the network at Detroit Podcast. If you get a chance, if you want to check out some alternative stuff and content, Roman Reigns appeared on the Pat McAfee Show Friday, and it was a little bit more of a real version of Roman Reigns, just talking about his legacy. Took a shot at CM Punk. The crowd was into it, kept putting his hand up. The visual of Pat and his boys trying to suck up to Roman Reigns was classic. It's a good interview, and in the style that you know and accustomed to Pat McAfee, he had an audience. He went to Iowa, and there was Roman Reigns. So it's a good interview, and always check out the work A&E does with the biographies and the rivalries. It's good stuff, and always some content that you can enjoy away from the ring. Make sure content that you know you enjoy is the Doc and Jock Wrestling Podcast. All you got to do is type in Detroit Sports Podcast and our content will find you. We got great relationships all over the interwebs and media companies going forward with SI. I'm going to be looking to do more things there as well. So it's going to be a fun time for the world of professional wrestling. And I'm hoping that it's fruitful and continues to be a situation in which there's good content, good matches, and some great storytelling that we can invest in as we progress in the future here in 2024 and beyond. Thanks, everybody. I can't wait for next week when we turn on the microphones, turn on the lights, wake up, and break down the world of professional wrestling on the latest and greatest episode of the Doc and Jock Wrestling Podcast.